All right, let's begin. We're in Hilchos Tzitzis, Perek Aleph. We left off with Halacha Yadalin. We're dealing with what's called Ta'aseh V'lo Min HaAsoy, which deals with the halachic concept of having to create tzitzis from scratch, so to speak, and not, for lack of a better term, using a pre-prepared type of tzitzis situation. So there's a few other cases the Rambam's going to discuss. Halacha Yadal is one of them. Tala Chutin Ben Shnei Knafayim Mizulazu. So let's say what a person did was is that he set up his tzitzis, right, where he took, let's say, four extremely long strings, okay, and then looped them through two corners, okay? So imagine for a second you had your garments, and now you have what looks like two connected tzitzis strings. It's really one, obviously, because I took the long string and I looped it through both corners. But the point is, the guy's a clever person. He says, you know what? I'll make both sets, so to speak, as one, and then cut them. Okay? V'kasher kanaf zu kelachasa, v'kanaf zu kelachasa. So each knot, right, on each corner was made kelacha. V'akrakar chaschan me'emsa, v'nifritu zev izev pasal. And then what he does is he cuts the strings, and now by cutting them, it separates out into two discrete sets of tzitzis strings. That's pasul. Why? Sharei be'esha kashran hayu psulun. Because when he tied them, they were pasul. V'bisha shteya knafayim ma'uros zubazu b'chutin shebinayin. V'bisha shepasko nasu shtey tzitzios nimsa osa mina asli. So the problem is that when he made the two tzitzis, when they were connected to each other, but he made them on two separate corners, so at that moment in time when he made them, they were always pasul. So now, it's not that he didn't do anything. And now by cutting it, so to speak, now he's creating both tzitzis strings. Rather, the result, and this is one of the key points in Ta'aseh V'lo Min HaAsoy, there was actually a halachic status to those tzitzis strings that were tied in each corner as being pasul. So when he cut them, right, it's not that he's creating tzitzis strings. Rather, those strings were always pasul to begin with, and therefore, in cutting them, he doesn't create a situation where now he has permitted what he calls separate corners. A halacha tesvav, okay, and it's similar. Hitl tzitzis ala tzitzis. Okay, so here, this case is where, what does a person do? He says that he sees that his tzitzis strings are, let's say, getting old. So he wants to put a new set of strings on there. So what does he do? He has his old strings on. He adds another set of strings to it, okay? So im niskavein levatal sarishonos, okay, if his intention is to get rid of the first set of strings that are on the corner, Matir Harishona Ochodcha Vikshira. So then, when he put the second set on, if his intention was, I'm putting the second set on, right, and I'm going to get rid of the first set, okay, then he cuts off the first set after he places the second one on, and that's fine. However, then this Gabin Lahosif, but if his intention was to add, okay, let's say he wanted to add more strings, Afal Pisha Chasach Achas Mishtayan, right, Hare Zupsula, even if he cut one off, it would still be possible. Why? Sharei kishahosif, because when he added strings to the present situation of strings, pasul also call, because he makes the entire thing pasul. Hu kishahitir ochata chatosefes, and then when he cut off the extra strings, nimsa hashar nasa mina asoy, shas yasa rishon apsula haisa, because his original making of it was pasul. So again, if he adds strings because he wants more strings on his corner, if he does that, he creates a situation of psul, and therefore even if he removes the extra, or whatever he removes, at the end of the day, since its origin was pasul, so then, it won't work. Halacha tazayin, one more case of tasav and asoy, v'chein amatil l'ba'alas shalosh. So let's say I have a three-cornered garment, and I make tzitzis strings on each corner. And then what do? V'archach yishlima l'arba. Then I make a fourth corner, and then I add v'hitzel l'revius, right, and then I add strings to the fourth corner. Excuse me. Kula psula. Shinemar tasav l'man asoy. The entire thing becomes pasul. So again, a person can't have a three-corner garment, put all corners having their own tzitzis, and then add a corner with its own tzitzis to it. That's also considered ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asoy. Halacha yitzayin. Okay, now a little bit of a separate halacha. Well, actually, I'm sorry, it is related. Ein koflin esetalis l'shnayim umatilin tzitzis al arba kanfeya kashi kfula. Okay, so a person can't take a very, very large shirt, let's say, okay? In this case, to make it simple, imagine it's like what we use as a talis today, a large rectangular garment that has four corners on it. but it's too big to wear, let's say. I mean, it's machlokas, you're showing him how to learn this, but let's say it's too big to wear. So what does a person do? He folds it over. And then when he folds it over, he then says, okay, I'm gonna put the tzitzit strings on now the folded over four corners, okay? So meaning if I opened up the garment, okay, after it was folded over, if I opened it up, what would I find? I'd find that it would be, there'd be two strings in the middle, right? And then a string on each end. But it wouldn't be where actually the four corners have, when it's unfolded, that the four corners would have tzitzis on them. It's only when it's folded that it has tzitzis on them. So that's possible. You can't do that. Ela im kein tafra kula. The only time that's allowed to, you can do that, is if when you fold it over, you actually sew together, right? Let's say some part, one end of the garment. Meaning that if I took the garment off, right, I wouldn't be able to easily, unfold it. Okay? So that's the halacha of koflin. And finally, in halacha, in parak aleph, in halacha yud ches, he says, nifsaka kanaf sheish bat tzitzis, chutz, okay. So let's say the corner, right, of my four-corner garment, let's say the corner of your talus, rips off, okay? So it's interesting, halacha. Chutz l'shlosh etzbos, tofra b'mkoma, b'soch shlosh lo yisvor, okay? So if there's a tear, let's say there's a tear, okay? A tear in the kanaf. Forget if it comes off completely. Let's say it's just torn, okay? And there's tzitzis on it. So if it's more than, if it's further away than three etzbos, meaning into the garment, then you can sew it where it is. But let's say it's within three etzbos to the end, then you can't sew it up. Then you got, and which means you have a problem, okay? Because then again, the question is that, in other words, at what point does the kanaf with the tzitzit strings become discrete from the garment itself? So if you recall, three etzbos is the area where the kanaf is supposed to be. So if the tear is further up in the garment, so then what we say is that it's true, the kanaf's attached, we look at it as the kanaf being attached to that part of my garment, right? Meaning a piece of my shirt along with the kanaf tore. But if the kanaf alone tore, then you have a problem, okay? Because then that'd be a problem, tasav unasli. Nismata zava shal beged, shebein chutei atzitzis, ubein sof arog, afilo nishra min arog, elakolshu kasher, okay? So let's say the area between in the shirt that's between the area in between the shirt where the strings are, okay, and at the end of where the corner is, okay, even if there's only a little bit of string left, it's still considered kasher. But chenis matu chutei tzitzis themselves, afilu nishtarim hem ela kedei aniva kasher. And that's a famous case. And it's one of the most difficult sugyas in this area. Let's say a person, their strings got cut or they got shorter. As long as you have enough from the knot down left, you're fine. Then this of a chut mikaro, afilu chut echa psula. But of course, if the entire chut, if one of the strings gets torn in its entirety, meaning all the way to the roots, meaning all the way to where the knot was, and now it's no longer, now, so to speak, if I look at my kanaf, I only have three strings and not four, that would be considered puzzle. Okay. Perek Beis is going to start. Now, Perek Beis is going to deal with tchelis, okay? And as you'll see, this is for those who, whenever I discuss tchelis, I'm not going to wander into the issue today of whether what we have today is tchelis or not tchelis, etc. It is just important to listen. I mean, the Rambam is one of the most well-read when it comes to those people who are. This is the only way to put it is pro tchelis. When it comes to the pro tchelis people, the Rambam is certainly one of the most well-read and researched when it comes to this. And it's important to listen to. It's a fascinating thing because, as you'll see, tchelis is not. It's not a simple thing. Forget whether you have the Masorah or not, just insofar as preparing is concerned. As you'll see, it's actually very, very tricky. Okay, so in Halacha Aleph, he says like this. He says, Tcheles ha'mur b'Torah, b'chol makom, hi atzemer hatzavua kiftoch shebekochol. Okay? So what is it? Okay? It's a tcheles that we talk about here, right? It's some type of sky blue. Okay? It's a wool that's dyed a sky blue. B'zuhi d'musarakia nirest l'ena shemesh, Bitaral Sharakia. So it's the color of the sky when the sun is at the opposite end of the horizon. So it's hard to get a perfect sense of what that is, but basically it is sky blue. That's what he's looking for. V'hatchelas hamor betzitzis, tzarech shetiye tzviyasa tzviya yedua, shomedes biyofya, v'lo tishtane. Okay, so the dye that's used, okay, must be the kind of dye that will retain its beauty, right? But meaning that it doesn't fade. Lo tishtana, meaning tcheles is the nature of the dye of tcheles is one where when you dye your tzitzis tcheles, so it'll never fade. Okay, that's a telling sign of the nature of this dye. The kol shelo nitzva ba'osat tzviya pasul tzitzis, right? Af api kishuhu ke'ena rakia. And if it doesn't have this quality, right? If it doesn't have these qualities, it's possible for tzitzis. Even if it looks like the sky, because the Gemara has cases like that where they had a dye, a blue that was very, very, very similar in appearance to tchelis. If it's not tchelis, it doesn't work. Kegon shetzavo beistis or beshachor or besharim mashchirin are is a possible tzitzis. Now it's interesting to note that the Rambam says as if you dyed it with one of the examples he gives is black dye. Now, why would black dye be like sky blue, right? Which is odd. In other words, black and sky blue are very different colors. So then there are some who argue that that shachor here, that he could have meant that tchelis was a little darker than what people think tchelis is today. But that's a separate issue. And then he says, yeah, and rachel bas eitz tzamra pasul tzitzis, which means a ewe. Its tzitzis is what it called. Its wool is pasul for tzitzis, which is actually a separate halacha. Okay, now halacha beis. Now, how do you do this? How do you dye? How do you make tchelis? This right here in Alacha Beis is the recipe for making tchelis. So, ketzat soven tchelis for tzitzis. So, how do you dye the tchelis for tzitzis? Okay, lochenat semer. Okay, so you take wool, v'shorin oso basid, right, and you soak it in lime. Okay, that's step one. V'acharchach mechabsin oso. Then you clean it, ad shehe naki. Okay, until it becomes clean. Umarsichin oso. Be'ohla, okay, and then v'chliyotzibo k'derech shatzavin osin k'deishi yiklot esa'im. So what do? So basically, you boil it in bleach, okay? You bleach the dye. You bleach the wool, and you do things like this. He says he's going to say this a lot, like the experts in dyeing do. So again, there were certain people who were trained in how to dye things, right? And they would know what it called. They would know exactly how to do this. Okay. So the first thing you do is you prepare the wool, right? You prepare the wool by cleaning it and bleaching it. The akarchach, and after that, mevian dam chilazon. Okay. So now you bring the blood of this thing, the hudag, which is a fish, shedome eno le'en hatchilas v'damo shachor kidio uviyam melachu matzoi. So again, note what he says. This fish, right? So this fish is found in the Mediterranean Sea, and its blood, right, is now, and this is what he says, its blood is black like ink, okay? So again, that sounds like, without getting into what the commentaries say, that sounds like what we look at tchelis today as being bluish. That's not what the Rambam's saying. The Rambam seems to think it's more closer towards a black color, okay? But it is interesting. It's interesting that the Rambam sees this as being more of a closer to a black shade, okay? Anyways, you bring this the blood of this fish, and it's found in the Mediterranean, right? The nosunes adam liyore. Okay, so now you put the blood into this like bowl. The nosen imo simonin kemoha kamunya kyotzebehen kederach shatzavin osin, and you put in there all sorts of like spices and stuff, okay? Little or herbs, things too that you cook with or that you mash up with the tchelis, okay? Notice how the Rambam doesn't tell you everything has to be put in there, because it sounds like there was some sort of misora, although it's unclear whether it was a Jewish misora or whether it was just a known way of making a tchelis. Okay, so what do you do? And then umarsichin oso, and you boil it, v'nosin bo'at semer, and then you add the wool to it, ad sheyase ke'ein rakia, back to that sky blue business, v'zuya tchelis shel tzitzis. So that's how you make tchelis. Okay, you make tchelis by you take this, you take the dam from the schilazon, you take the wool, right? You take the dam, you cook it with these herbs and these other things, and then you put the tzemer in, you boil it all together. Bam, you got your tchelis. Okay, now that doesn't sound too bad, but here comes the tricky part. Okay, but tchelis. Now, if you remember, by Sefer Torah and Tefillin, you need ibud l'shma, right? The processing has to be done l'shem mitzvah, and by what do you call it? By tzitzis also, when a person makes his tzitzis, all right, when it has to be done l'shma, tchelis also has to be done l'shma. So in Lacha Gimel, the Rambam says that Tchela Shal Tzitzis Tzricha Tzviya Lishma Vim Sava Shalol Lishma Psula. So when a person makes a Tcheles, he has to have in mind he's doing it for the purpose of Tcheles Shal Mitzvah. So why does that present such an interesting thing? Okay, so the Rambam says V'hayyora Sheish Ba Tzeva. Okay, now let's say a person is making his Tcheles. Okay, and inside the bowl he has the dye. Now what does he do? Im Tzeva Ba Me'at Semer. So what he does is he puts some wool in there, and he puts a little tchelas on the, in other words, he puts some wool, and then cooks it with the tchelas and brings up the wool to check it, right? In some of ma'at semer levadcho, he dyes a little bit of the semer to check it, imhu yafa imlav, to see if it's nice or not, nifsula hayore kula. Okay, so if he tries to check any of the wool, right, that's been dyed by this tchelas in this pot, all the tchelas in the pot becomes pasul. Why? Because all he can use the tseva for, or the tchelas for in the pot, is to make tchelas shel mitzvah. So that would exclude using any of that dye to check. The moment he uses some of that dye to check, he's using some of the dye, right, for something other than the purpose of tchelas shel mitzvah. And what that does is that, in effect, makes the entire rest of that bowl of tchelas dye pasul. So what does he do instead? So what's his way out of it? He says, Ela ketzad, ketzad, yaseh. So what does the guy do? Because, and that's the key point here, you're going to want to check to make sure this is the right dye. As you'll see, this is a very technique-sensitive process. So the guy's going to want to check, so what's he supposed to do? How's he supposed to check to make sure that everything's going according to plan? So what does he do? So you take, like, let's say, a teaspoon of the dye out of the yore, and you put it into, let's say, a smaller kli, okay? And then you take some of the wool, right, that you want to use as your experimental wool, and put it into that small kli, right, and then check it, and then v'soref es shabodak shrei nitzvah lebedika. But then what do you have to do? You have to burn the rest of the dye, okay, that was in that small kli, because again, that was designated for use for mitzvah. So if you plan on making tchelas anytime soon, and you want to check to see how it's going, right, how it looks and if it's looking correct, etc. So then what you'd have to do is you have to take a little bit of the dye out of the main kli, put it into a smaller kli, check the tzemer in that kli, and then when you're done, burn it all. The shofei chatzeva shebekli shebadak bo sherei tamo upasla. Right, and then any of the remaining dye that's left in that small kli, you chuck, and it's pasul. And then you can go ahead and dye the rest of the wool with what's remaining inside the big yore. So if you ever want to check your tchelas while you're making it, this is what you have to do. You can't. And as Ron is 100% correct in asking, there is no idea of a hechsher mitzvah here. It's either used as tchelas lemitzvah or not. And if once it's designated lemitzvah, I can't set aside any part of it, even for the purpose of experimentation, even for the purpose of checking to make sure that it's working. That would not be considered acceptable, and it risks posseling the entire yore. Okay, halacha dalet. Now, seeing how difficult this is, okay, so now what the Rambam's going to talk about is purchasing tchelas. Tchelas, eina nilkechas elamina mumcha. Okay, you can only buy tchelas from an expert. Okay, someone who's known, who's recognized, whose reputation is this is a well-known dealer of tchelas. Shema nitzva shel lishma, because there's a concern that they didn't dye the tchelas l'shem mitzvah. Afal pi she nilkecha min mumcha. Okay, you know, even if I buy it from an expert, im nivdeka v'noda she nitzva. Now, but let's say I went ahead and bought it from a mumcha, and I checked it, and it turns out that the ink that was used, right, the dye that was used, would be one that wouldn't last for a long period of time. It's pasul. It's a funny halacha the Rambam has to tell this to us. But what the Rambam is saying is that I can trust the mumcha. However, if I did check it from a mumcha, and it turns out the dye doesn't last as long, which would imply that it's not the correct dye, then of course it's pasul. But what's the havamina? right? Of course it would be pasul, because the mumcha didn't use the right dye. But just because it's a mumcha doesn't create the status of kashrus. It just is a chazaka that you can rely on. Okay, so halacha hey. So ketzad, now, how do you know ketzad bot genosa? Now this is a very complicated halacha, but how can I check to know, right, whether this tcheles is the kind that is permanent? Okay, meaning, remember, one of the conditions for tcheles, the simple part of tcheles seems to be the color, right? The harder part is to make sure that this dye is set up in a way that it's permanent, that its status is permanent and it will not fade. So how do you check for such a thing? How do you check to see if that's true? So what you do is like this, okay? Okay. Lochin teven viril shel shovel umei raglayim shen ischamsu arbaim yom. Okay, so you take three things, okay? You take some straw, you take this type of secretion that comes from a snail, and you take urine that's been out for 40 days, okay? So these are the first three things you have to get your hands on. Straw, which I don't think is that difficult to get your hands on. This snail secretion, which might be a challenge. And then for those who like to store the urine, 40-day-old urine, okay? And what do? Vishorin ha-tcheles bekulon me'es leis. You take this tcheles that's in doubt, okay, and you put it into this straw, snail secretion, 40-day-old urine concoction. You leave it in there for 24 hours, okay? Im amda be'enel ha-velo kasa, kshira. Those who note, that's a classic move that the Rambam, the Gaonim, often use, Rishonim as well, where he's alluding to amda be'enel ha-velo kasa, comes from the area it comes from the parsha of Tazria Metzora, which has to do with Tzaraas. But anyway, what do you call it? If the dye has not faded at all, meaning if it's in this concoction for 24 hours and there's no fading whatsoever, right, of the dye that's on the tzemer, it's kosher. Now, let's say it is weaker, vim kasa, but let's say you notice after spending 24 hours in this concoction, right, that it has gotten weaker. So you're not quite out of the, you're not down the river yet. There's still what do you call it, a way out. So what do? Lochin betzek shel se'orin shema ashvshin oso lemurias. Okay, so you take this this barley dough that is it's like very old because it's being used for fish brine. You take that v'nosin as zuat cheles shenishtanis bisocho. Okay. You take that this semer with the dye on it that's faded a bit after being stored in that substance. You put it into the dough. The ofe habetzek betanor. You bake it. Okay. Umotzim atcheles min apas. Then you take out the semer with the pas with the atcheles on it from the bread. The roenosa, and you look at it. Imkas amimasha haisa psula. If it got any weaker from when it got a little weaker when it was stored in that original concoction, then for sure it's pasul. Vim hosef ena. The hoshkara yosir mash haisa kodem afia kshira, right? But if it returned insofar as its strength is concerned, meaning it looks like it did before it got weaker, okay, and it's back to being that powerful blue/black, then it's kasher, okay. So this is a little obviously complicated, and it's a good question today. What's done to check if this is even done today? But what you can also see is that notice to go through this entire effort shows you how precious tcheles is. As you'll see at the end of if you get to the end of the parak today, probably tomorrow, you'll see that that tcheles itself wasn't so common. So if you notice that there was a fading in the tcheles, we want to kind of do everything in our power to save that tcheles if we can. We don't want to get rid of that tcheles. Let's do one more. So now the Rambam says, Lachavav, chatzar shemokhin ba tcheles. Now let's say it's not a mumcha, but let's say it's like a store, okay? I mean, let's say a Judaica store. That they sell tcheles, v'haya muchzakim mekashrus, right? And they have a chazaka being kasher, locha mimena stam, vein sarak bedika. You can rely on it, okay? V'harei hi bechazkasa asha techshat. So if I buy it from, let's say, a Judaica store, right? As long as there's a chazaka of it being kasher, right? I can rely on that until, obviously, there's a reason to be suspicious, okay? Now, hamafke tcheles eitz v'akusi, harei zepsula shema hachlifa. But that's a problem, okay? If I give tcheles over to a non-Jew, here he means a non-Jew, it's puzzle because our concern is he's going to exchange it for something else, okay? V'im haisa b'kli, Now let's say I found Tcheles in a Kli, Vaya Chosum b'shnei Chosmos, Chosem b'sil Chosem, Kshera, Chosem Echa Psula. If I come across Tcheles that's in a Kli, it requires a double seal, okay? Meaning it's one Kli sealed and then the outside Kli sealed. But if only there's only one seal on it, then it's not considered possible. So again, we're looking at, what do you call it, at a very specific and refined process, and that's why the value of Tcheles was so high. I mean, you see that, you know, we're concerned about it being done l'shma against its very technique-sensitive process. All right, one more. Halacha Zayin, Hamotze Tcheles Peshuk. So let's say I find Tcheles in the market, okay, meaning in a public domain. Okay, Afilu Matza Chutim Psukim Psula, Shuzurin Kshera. There's a big debate about the Lashon of the Rambam here, but let's just take the way it's written in the Bar Ilan. If I find individual strings of Tcheles, right, meaning Semer, that's David Tcheles, in the Shuk, all right, it's puzzle. But Shuzurin Kshera, if it was like, let's say, intertwined strings, remember we had before that Tzitzis isn't always made with individual strings of Semer, it could be three or four or five or whatever, multiple strings intertwined as one. If you found that, it's Kasher. And the reason why is because you'd assume that, that a person to go through the trouble of tying, intertwining it, meant he's using it for tzitzis, okay? Whereas when it comes to individual strings, which it would seem like individual strings dyed, right, with tcheles type color was a very common thing. So you can assume if it's shizurin, that it's kasher because the person probably did a lishma. Halokeach talas mitzuyetzes min hashuk miyisrael. Okay, now let's say, what do you call it? Let's say if you buy the tzitzis, right? If you buy a previously made garment with tzitzis on it from a Jew, right? Then you could say it's kosher, okay? However, if it's from a non-Jew, okay, then that's where the problem emerges. It depends if the non-Jew is someone who works in the marketplace, okay? Meaning, let's say there's a Jewish, non-Jewish partnership, as an example, versus if it's done by a private non-Jew, then we consider it to be possible.